When you study Scripture, you find many examples of believers who dared to trust God so completely that they lived courageously. They dared to be faithful to God and live boldly for Him. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church. Welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for joining us as we examine some of the most faithful and courageous heroes of Scripture. We hope this study challenges you to live boldly for Christ today.
Welcome to day 49 of Dare to Be. Our title today is Worshiping Jesus. D.A. Carson once wrote, "The climax of the story is not the stilling of the storm in verse 32, but the confession and worship of the disciples in verse 33, truly, you are the Son of God." This is the first time Jesus has been addressed by the disciples with this full title. Our text for today is Matthew chapter 14, verses 32 through 34. "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.' And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret." When you follow Jesus through the Gospels, you often notice multiple miracles occur in one event. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 34, you will see three distinct miracles. First, Jesus walks on water to his disciples. Second, Peter walks on water with Jesus until he loses focus. And third, the storm stopped as soon as Jesus got into the boat with his disciples. Anytime Jesus steps into your storm, there's a good chance the winds will cease. If you put yourself in the disciples' shoes, you can imagine how satisfying it would be to have Jesus with you. You've been struggling all night in high waves amid a fierce storm. You are rowing hectically and seemingly going nowhere. Then it appears a ghost is walking toward you on the water. You realize it's Jesus. Next, you watch Peter walk on water and begin to sink. You witness Jesus lifting Peter, and they both get in the boat. Then the storm you've been facing all night suddenly stops. Now Jesus is in the situation with you, and everything is calm. What would you do after that kind of experience? Those in the boat worshiped Jesus. Someone once said, "Worship is a response to God for who He is and all He has done." They had plenty of reasons to worship Christ. Matthew uses the Greek verb proskuneo for worship. Proskuneo primarily means to worship or to show reverence, often through physical gestures such as bowing down or prostrating oneself. The term conveys a deep sense of reverence, adoration, and submission to a higher authority. The disciples were in a boat and still chose to bow down and worship Jesus. If they can fall on their faces in a boat in the middle of a lake, we should be able to fall on our faces in our prayer rooms, our carpeted sanctuaries. Part of bowing is placing yourself before your King in reverence and respect for His position. Bowing also reveals how God's authority is superior to anyone or anything else. The word bow or bowing appears in the King James Version of the Bible 96 times, and the word bowed appears 74 times. In total, the word bow in some form appears approximately 170 times in the Bible. Bowing is the most obvious response to the majesty of Christ. As they worshiped and bowed before Jesus, they confessed in verse 33, "Truly, you are the Son of God." James Montgomery Boyce shares these thoughts. This is the first time the disciples are said to have worshiped Jesus. In chapter 2, the Magi from the east worship Jesus in verse 11. Later, a leper is said to have worshiped Jesus, though the New International Version translates the word merely as knelt before him in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. A synagogue ruler does the same thing in chapter 9, verse 18. But this is the first time the disciples worshiped. And it is important to note that their worship in chapter 14, verse 33, is joined to their confession. That is what worship is, of course. It is acknowledging who God is and praising Him both for who He is and for what He has done. In this case, the disciples took the first step and worshiped Jesus as God's Son. I noticed, too, that they focused on Jesus entirely in their worship. Peter had experienced a great deliverance, but they didn't ask Peter to give his testimony. The wind had died down, but they didn't hold a discussion about miracles. They worshiped Jesus, and they worshiped only Him because they were entirely taken up with Him. Bruce Barton adds additional explanation to the disciples' confession. The disciples' declaration, "Truly, you are the Son of God," indicates a progression in faith. In chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "It is I." In verse 28, Peter said, "If it's you." And here the disciples exclaimed, "Truly, you are." Mark's account focuses on the disciples' hardness of heart and understanding Jesus' true identity. Matthew's account focuses on their astonishment over his encounter with Peter. While the disciples worshiped and called Jesus the Son of God, they still had much to learn about who Jesus was and what He had come to do. Some questions to consider. Why is worship the obvious response to God's presence? How can worshiping Jesus lead to a confession? And finally, how does the following statement by R.A. Torrey apply to the disciples in these verses? How does it apply to your life? The first result of walking with God is great joy, abounding joy. And secondly, a great sense of security, of abiding peace. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.